Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good people. This is Leslie Giss. I'm your moderator of the Antique E-Show. I first want to explain how this show came about. I'm an author of a book entitled The Gist of Freedom is Still Faith. It is about the Underground Railroad. And during my 10-year research, I learned a lot of great things about American history as well as African-American history. And I thought that I should share this, or well, share these stories with you on Blog Talk Radio by introducing you to some of the scholars in the nation who know the most about the subjects I learned about only through reading books and research. So I just want to explain who I am and why we're here. I also want to let you know that there's videos on my blog page. That's the Antique E-Show. If you go to the blog page, Blog Talk Radio page, you'll see at the very, very bottom of the page a video, and you can watch a video which is related to the topic that we're discussing. Today we're talking about Juneteenth Day, the holiday, and we want to know if you think that we are using these holidays effectively, the holidays like Kwanzaa, Martin Luther King's birthday, and now Juneteenth holiday. We want to know, what do you think? Should we be doing more things, more educational things on these holidays to commemorate Martin Luther King, and should we be celebrating these holidays in the churches or in schools? You know, give us a call, and you'll have a chance to speak with Dr. Myers. He's a medical doctor as well as an activist. He helped establish and ratify this holiday, Juneteenth holiday, in 31 states. I think he needs some applause. I wish I had some sound effects because I would definitely use them right now. So to help us get into the mood of the Juneteenth spirit, I thought I should play a Stevie Wonder tune. And it's called We're Jamming. I love Stevie Wonder. And the Juneteenth holiday is about celebrating black history, more so the emancipation of slaves in Galveston, Texas, who were not aware or could not, were held by force for 2 years beyond the time that most of us was free. So let's listen to Stevie Wonder tell us how to celebrate Juneteenth Day. All right. Thank you for holding on and listening to Stevie Wonder give us a concept of how we're going to jam on Juneteenth Day. I hope you guys are setting up your celebrations. Well, while we're getting ready, we have four people on the line. One of them is Dr. Myers, the minister, reverend from Mississippi. He is responsible for helping to ratify 31 states to accept Juneteenth as a national holiday. They will be celebrating in Washington, D.C. starting on Thursday. He's online. He'll be able to explain what he is doing and what he has done with Juneteenth Day. We also have our panelist, Mrs. Judy Bell Rains. She is our expert on books. She is the president of a book club called Sugar and Spice. She also goes out into the field and brings us back excellent information regarding to books and bookstores. We also have on the line Dr. Metters from William Patterson University. He should be on the line any minute. I think I just lost a caller. But let's pick somebody up right now and let them say hello. Are you there, Ms. Judy Bell Rains?
Hello. Hello, Leslie. How's it going today?
Great. Everything's going wonderfully. So let's give us
a celebration of Juneteenth at Evangel Cathedral at Prince County in Maryland. I saw a big sign celebrating Juneteenth.
Great, great. In Prince County, Maryland, they're going to have a great big celebration for Juneteenth.
Yeah, a big sign, yep.
Great. And what else do you have on your agenda?
Yeah, on my agenda, what I have is to let people know, a reminder, that July 18th is the Harlem Book Fair outside of the Schomburg Library at 135th and Frederick Douglass Boulevard on the 18th. Also to keep in mind that it's the 100th anniversary of the NAACP, and the NAACP is having its convention in New York City at the Hilton July 11th through July 16th. And they can go online to check that out. There's going to be a lot of exciting events during that time. Also, I need everybody to hear and know that the National Book Club Conference is going to be at Atlanta, Georgia, from July 31st to August 2nd. And Patti LaBelle is supposed to be there autographing her book, Don't Block the Blessings. That will be in Atlanta, Georgia. And you can check out the website for that, www.nationalbookclubconference.org.
Great. That sounds good. So we have Dr. Metters on the phone and Dr. Myers on the line. Let me allow them to introduce themselves. Are you there, Dr. Myers?
I am here, sister.
Great, great. It's so wonderful to hear your voice. I've been anticipating this interview for several weeks. It's an honor and a blessing to be able to talk to you, period, but to be able to share this conversation with the Blog Talk family, it makes it even more special.
Well, it's an honor for me to be on the this kind of a forum to discuss a very important history and legacy of our people, Juneteenth.
Okay. All right. Could you explain what Juneteenth is?
Well, Juneteenth is really short for the 19th of June. It was June 19th, 1865, when a Union general by the name of Gordon Granger landed in Galveston, Texas, the last geographic area of this country where slavery was still practiced, to make the announcement they were all free by actions of Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, signed over 2.5 years earlier. It took over 2.5 years for the news to travel down to southwest Texas. And when our ancestors heard the announcement of freedom, they celebrated in Galveston, right in the streets of Galveston, and it became the first Juneteenth, 19th of June celebration.
Great. Well, we have Dr. Metters on the line. I'm going to allow him to say hello to us, and I would like for you to return and resume your story of Juneteenth. Dr. Metters, are you there?
Yeah, you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. All right, okay. Would you introduce yourself to Dr. Myers?
I'm from William Patterson University, and my specialty is Underground Railroad, and I'm waiting to hear all these nuggets about the Juneteenth, because this is not my specialization. I'm a student of Dr. Myers in this case. I'm here to listen.
Great. So you have excellent questions for Dr. Myers, right?
I have some questions, but right now I want to hear what he got to say.
Okay, Dr. Myers, tell us more about Galveston, Texas, and Juneteenth.
Well, Galveston, Texas was where the announcement was made on June 19, 1865, when the Union General Gordon Granger landed to make the announcement all the slaves were free. This is more than 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation went into effect. Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation September 22, 1863, for the slave states or the southern states that remain in rebellion. If they did not stop their rebellion on January 1, 1863, okay.
Do you want Dr. Meadows to pick up?
I got some interference going on. Okay, that's better.
Okay.
Yeah, on January 1st, 1863, if the southern states remained in rebellion, all their slaves would be free. So the Emancipation Proclamation stated those states and territories and areas that the slaves would be freed. And Galveston, Texas is where that announcement was made on the 19th of June, 1865. And so our ancestors celebrated over 145 years ago, and we continue to honor our ancestors by joining them in the celebration of the announcement of freedom on June 19, 1865. And I'm working with Juneteenth organizations and celebrates to establish the 19th of June, Juneteenth Independence Day, as a commemoration of the end of slavery. We have 31 states now that recognize Juneteenth as a state holiday or a state holiday observance, special day of recognition, Kansas being the last state. And several weeks ago, thanks to State Senator David Haley, the great nephew of Alex Haley, we have 31 states, and we also have been recognized by the Congress of the United States for the first time in 1997 through legislation sponsored by Trent Lott and J.C. Watts in the House, and recognized the 19th of June, Juneteenth, as Juneteenth Independence of America. And so we're continuing to work through the National Juneteenth Holiday Campaign.
Okay, I had a we lost him, Dr. Meadows.
Yes.
He dropped out. How do you feel about what Dr. Myers just said about the holiday being America's Independence Day?
Well, he's right on point, and I agree with 100%. This is extraordinary that he's able to put this in place. I would love to find out the strategy that he used to convince these different politicians to go about, you know, making it a holiday or a day of recognition. And I know it took a great deal of work on his part, but I can know, you know, some of the ABCs about how do you get people or events, you know, incorporated into American history.
All right, he's back on. Let's see what he's
doing. Okay,
okay, Dr. Myers, you had a little drop there. Are you there,
yeah,
Doctor?
I'm back. Sorry, we got cut off there, but there's a lot of interference in the background, but let's continue.
Okay. Now, you were saying that the Congress recognizes as America's Independence Day. Did I hear you correctly?
Well, no. In 1997, first of all, the first efforts to recognize Juneteenth nationally as a day of independence for African Americans was officially passed in 1997, Senate Joint Resolution 11, House Joint Resolution 56, recognizing the 19th of June, Juneteenth Independence Day in America. And we have we have 31 states now to officially recognize Juneteenth as a state holiday, beginning in Texas in 1980, state holiday observance. And now we have 31 states. And so we're still working to have Juneteenth recognized in the rest of 19 states and also to have a national day of observance for Juneteenth and the end of slavery on the 19th of June, Juneteenth Independence Day.
Oh, great. Let's see if Miss Judy Bell Rings has a question for you. Judy, are you there?
Yes, I am. I was just wondering, what is our new president doing? The new president doing as far as recognizing this day as a very important part of African American history and the American history, just American history in general. Has he made any movement towards making this into a national holiday or, you know, in recognizing the day? Because I know this Memorial Day was the first time a president recognized African American soldiers in Washington. So I was wondering, has he made any steps towards, you know, recognizing?
Well, Barack Obama, when he was a state senator in Illinois, played a significant role in getting the Illinois Juneteenth legislation passed.
Uh-huh.
And he worked with me as a state senator, and we continue to have a strong relationship while he was in the United States Senate for 4 years. He served as our Senate host for Juneteenth during our annual Washington Juneteenth National Holiday Observance at the U.S. Capitol. And now he's President of the United States. I'm sure that we're going to see a recognition of Juneteenth, and he's going to be very supportive as president. The key is, though, we have to get Congress to, we have to get the United States Senate and the House of Representatives to issue legislation to officially recognize the 19th of June as a National Day of Observance. And so I'm sure with the support of President Obama, along with the House and the Senate, with 31 states officially recognizing, and I'm hoping that even this week we'll be able to get some legislation done from the president in terms of a proclamation or an executive order along with the actions of Congress this week.
Wow. This
Thank
week.
You.
Is that a coincidence that it's happening this week?
Well, the 19th of June is Friday, so we're back for our 10th annual Washington Juneteenth National Holiday Observance, and we have a congressional Juneteenth reception. Congressman Danny Davis has been our chair of our National Juneteenth Congressional Committee, and also the Congressional Black Caucus now is playing host and supporting their annual Juneteenth, working with us with the annual Juneteenth activities at the U.S. Capitol, which will include a Congressional Juneteenth Symposium and a Black Caucus Congressional Juneteenth Reception on Wednesday, June 17th. So with all the work that's been done in terms of legislation and working with members of Congress, I'm hopeful that we'll see Juneteenth finally established as America's second Independence Day with a special day of observance, similar to Flag Day or Patriot Day, hopefully this week or soon after.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Any questions, Dr. Meadows? Because I have 101.
So do I.
First of all, I want to know again, I guess we got cut off. What is ABCs about how to get something like, you know, an event that hasn't been covered for whatever reason, that something's been suppressed about an event or an individual, and how did you get that going? I mean, 31 states, what was your steps that you took in order to get it going? It seemed like you had to be very political, highly political.
And were you involved in 1980 when Texas ratified the holiday, Dr. Myers?
No, that was Representative Al Edwards, the state representative from Texas who did that work for Texas to be the first state to officially recognize Juneteenth as a state holiday. The Juneteenth movement, the modern Juneteenth movement, began in 1994 when Reverend John Mosley called a meeting of Juneteenth leaders from across the country to come to New Orleans, Christian Unity Baptist Church, Pastor Dwight Webster, pastor, where we had a meeting and we all came together with the common goal of moving Juneteenth toward greater recognition and national recognition. I was appointed a chairman as a result of that meeting, and I've been chairing the Juneteenth efforts, the modern Juneteenth movement, and the holiday campaign ever since. So we, at that time, there was only three states that recognized Juneteenth: Texas, Oklahoma, and Florida. And from there, we've added another 28 states and also congressional recognition. And it's not so much that the holiday is suppressed, it's that we as African Americans, black people, as we embrace our legacy and our history of slavery to freedom and use the 19th of June, Juneteenth, as a date to focus on the celebration or the commemoration of the end of slavery, honoring our ancestors by joining them when they heard the news of freedom, as we make that known, and then we go to the governmental bodies and says and tell them we want the same recognition done for the 4th of July or as our freedom celebration. So that's the process as we as African Americans work to acknowledge and support our history and our legacy, and that's why we've been successful in 31 states, because on the 4th of July, Americans of African descent were slaves. George Washington was a slave owner. He owned over 300 slaves. Thomas Jefferson was a slave. Founding fathers of this country were slave owners. Americans of African descent were slaves on the 4th of July. So the 19th of June, Juneteenth, is an American Independence Day, Freedom Day celebration. And together, you cannot talk about America's legacy of freedom unless you talk about Juneteenth. And
now,
so that's
are
how
you
we've been able to get the recognitions in different states in the Congress.
Are you guys asking for recognition during these 4th of July holiday celebrations? You know, are you asking
we
march during your holiday?
Well, it's like Frederick Douglass Slade says, mm-hmm. What to the slave is the 4th of July. I mean, mm-hmm. And that, like, I use the words of Frederick Douglass, you know, your high Independence Day celebration only reveals a huge distance between us. The blessings for which you rejoice, I do not enjoy. The rich inheritance of justice, liberty, prosperity, independence given by your fathers is shared by you, but not me. The sunlight that brought life and healing to you has brought stripes and death to me. The 4th of July is yours, not mine. You may rejoice, I must mourn. So I'm quoting President Douglass to say that 4th of July is an Independence Day celebration for this country, but our ancestors were slaves. So we look to the 19th of June in terms of the official recognition of state government, city government, the Congress of the United States, and the President as our day that we're going to celebrate our independence and our freedom, our National Freedom Day in America.
Okay. I was just saying that as a means of getting exposure to teach people about the holiday, because the Independence Day is well known, and that's something that we could piggyback on throughout the nation, because most towns and cities are celebrating 4th of July. So if you have your banner and that parade, you'll generate some interest and some questions and hopefully some allies. And that was the only reason I mentioned we collaborating with the 4th of July organization celebration as well. Anyone else have any questions?
Yeah, I was going to say that the implications of that is that we don't embrace the July 4th, which I'm all for, and I understand exactly where he's coming from. And should we embrace that whole question of the Star-Spangled Banner? Because in 1812, we were enslaved as well. But every time I see a basketball game, which I'll probably look at tonight, and baseball games, you'll always sing the Star-Spangled Banner. You had some of our greatest singers singing the Star-Spangled Banner. Should we start pulling away from that too? Because that's nothing but an illusion. Right?
Well, why are we spending so much time talking about the 4th of July, Star-Spangled Banner? Look, man, 19th of June. I'm focusing on the day and our legacy of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really interested in how other folks react to Juneteenth. I'm going to celebrate it. It'll be made known as African Americans stand up and celebrate during the Juneteenth week or around Juneteenth our legacy of freedom. I don't need any approval from somebody about the Star-Spangled Banner. I don't need anybody. I'm not looking to the 4th of July. I'm going to sing the Star-Spangled Banner. You know, I'm celebrating my day as independent.
I agree. 100%.
I love that answer. That's an excellent, excellent response. And I think that's exactly what we should do, is focus on how we can expose as many people as possible, especially black people, to this holiday. So what were some of the first things you did when you introduced a new state or a new politician from a state who had never recognized Juneteenth? How did you, you know, how did you introduce them to Juneteenth?
Well, first of all, in states where the celebration is recognized, that's all 50 states. The Juneteenth celebrations are going on in all 50 states. Some states have more celebrations than others. In fact, the largest Juneteenth celebration in America doesn't even occur in Texas. It's up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Milwaukee has a huge celebration. So when you are working with a community that celebrates Juneteenth, and you have citizens, you get with them to contact their member of Congress or their state legislator, including their state senator, their state representative, or the governor, and you request recognition for the legacy of freedom with this Juneteenth. So folks get gubernatorial proclamations, and then they move during the legislative session to get legislation passed to officially recognize the day. And so you begin right where you are, where your Juneteenth people are celebrating, and right in your community, you contact your elected officials, especially your members of Congress, your congressperson, your two United States senators, your governor, your state representative, your state senator, and say, listen, we want to see this day officially recognized on all calendars. We want it officially recognized as America's Second Independence Day. And you start from that, and you call me, get in touch with me, and I'll help you, because I have a Juneteenth director and a committee in all 50 states, and we'll help you with the whole recognition of Juneteenth, as well as teaching the legacy of slavery to freedom in the schools. You got to get to the schools and change the curriculum.
I'd like to pause right there. Could you please give us your information, your telephone number, and your website right now?
You can reach me, anybody, www.juneteenth.us. That's www.juneteenth.us. Because Juneteenth is about us. And you can always reach me at area code 662-247-3364.
Right. All right. Now, you were talking about making sure the schools are made aware of Juneteenth. Can you give us a specific example of how you introduced Juneteenth to a Board of Education body?
Well, first of all, you need to get the day officially recognized by your state. And once the day is recognized, once the state you live in says, we recognize the 19th of June, as the day of freedom in America for Americans of African descent, we recognize this date. Then you work with your governmental authorities in the area of education, your state superintendent. And the way we do that is we go back to those states and establish a state Juneteenth commission. And through your state Juneteenth commission, once you get it established, you work with the education authority in your state to have a curriculum introduced in your state in all the schools of telling the story of the legacy of slavery to freedom in your state. We have a Juneteenth book that was written by Dr. Charles Taylor, and we've been working with the Congress to place the Juneteenth book in every public library and every public school library in the country. But many states have gone on not waiting on the federal legislation to be passed to put the book in the schools, and they've gone on to purchase books, and we have a teaching guide, a curriculum guide, and they've been working really hard to get that included teaching in their schools. So you have to work directly with the Board of Education, your state authority over education, but you need to get your holiday established officially by the state first.
All right, what is the status of New Jersey and New York?
New Jersey's holiday bill was passed, I believe, about 3 or 4 years ago. Your state representative Green I believe I work for him, and I forgot your state senator's name. Mm-hmm. But if you go to www.juneteenth.us and stroll down to the section that talks about what is Juneteenth, I have your state listed. You just click on your state, and it'll take you to the date that it was passed and who was responsible for passing the legislation. But Juneteenth is established as a state holiday observance in New Jersey. And what needs to happen now is the establishment of your state Juneteenth commission. And there are four areas that the state needs to give resources to in terms of your Juneteenth commission and support to, and that's your education authority to teach Juneteenth and the schools to the curriculum that is taught in your state. Also, the tourism in terms of bringing resources, support for your celebration, tourists, attraction in your state. The third area would be economic development. Resources are given to your state to bolster Juneteenth as an economic development opportunity. And, of course, history and archives, and that the placing of markers, significant historic markers in your state, and other legacy of slavery, historic events and individuals in your state, the state authority needs to be worked with make that happen through your Juneteenth commission.
All right, Judy Bell Rain, do you have a question?
Yes, my question is when a person attends a Juneteenth celebration, what are they going to see? But specifically, I've never been to that type of a celebration. Unfortunately, the New York City Public Schools, their last day of classes for the high schools is on the 15th. So the rest of the week, they have Regents exam. When the children do go to the Juneteenth celebration at the churches and the picnic areas and the, you know, at the different facilities, what is it that they can expect to see?
Well, what state are you located in?
I'm in New York State, sir.
Okay, well, New York has a number of Juneteenth celebrations. In fact, I just left the Schomburg Center in Harlem.
Yes,
press conference. But Juneteenth celebrations vary in a number of ways. It can be as simple as a flag-raising ceremony. Like in Omaha, they raised their Juneteenth flag for the second time this year. Boston, Massachusetts, the mayor and the city board raised the Juneteenth flag. They've been doing it for over 10 years. And so you can get together and have a flag-raising ceremony at your city hall, or you can go to a local library and raise the Juneteenth flag. And at that ceremony, you can read portions of the Emancipation Proclamation and have an acknowledgement of the day and the significance of freedom. Some places have choirs at their flag-raising ceremonies. Some have color guards. You have a lot of places that have military bases, ROTC groups. They'll come do bring the color guard in to raise the flag. So it could be as simple as a flag raiser to as elaborate as music, putting up stages, having food. And it just depends on the place and what you're able to accomplish to recognize the day.
Okay. Thank
great,
you.
Great. I was curious about the book. You said there's a book. Is there information on your website about the book that you are trying to get used in all the libraries throughout the nation?
Yes, if you go again to www.juneteenth.us, juneteenth.us, you'll see the Juneteenth book in the left-hand column as you scroll down.
And what's the name of the book?
Juneteenth, A Celebration of Freedom by Dr. Charles Taylor. Also, get in touch with the Juneteenth director from your state. If you go to the website, you can find each state listed with my direct Juneteenth representative in your state. You can find the information on the website, www.juneteenth.us. Get in touch with me, and above the pictures, you'll see NJOF State Director. The picture of me blowing a horn in the cornfield. Horn in the corn. Click the NJOF State Directors, and that person will assist you in your state.
Great. Any questions, Dr. Matters?
No, not, I don't have any questions, just listening.
Okay. Any areas you want to cover besides, we talked about the history of Juneteenth, how it was established as a holiday in the first state. We also talked about the website. We talked about President Obama's involvement as a senator. We went over a few things about the holiday. Is there anything you want to share with the audience? Anything else?
Well, yes. Again, I thank you for this opportunity. We have a petition drive that we're gathering petitions for the recognition of Juneteenth as a national holiday observance and also the Juneteenth postage stamp, the American flag for freedom postage stamp. And you go to www.juneteenth.us. Please download a petition and have signatures and instructions on where to mail it when you get done. We're trying to get 1 million signatures to the White House during this week.
All right.
Assistance in that area.
Whose idea was it to ask the government for a stamp? Where did that idea come from?
Oh, that was something that we've been working on for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Just like the Kwanzaa stamp, and you have the Black History stamp. We felt it was important that the U.S. that there be a postage stamp to acknowledge Juneteenth.
All right.
And we have the American Flags of Freedom stamp that we're advocating through the petitions you'll find on Juneteenth.us as a Juneteenth stamp.
Is there a particular artist that's designing your stamp?
Well, they got the flags on there. Our national Juneteenth artist is nationally recognized artist Alvin Carter. In fact, I'm on my way to Omaha, Nebraska, the home of Malcolm X. We're putting up an art exhibit today and doing a Juneteenth jazz concert because June is Black Music Month. We're celebrating Juneteenth jazz, preserving our African-American jazz legacy. And so for the particular stamp that we're advocating has the Juneteenth flag on there that was designed by our Juneteenth director in Massachusetts, Ben Hafe, over the National Juneteenth Celebration Foundation. And so there'll be opportunities for other designs for the Juneteenth stamp. We're just not going to start at this first one, which is the American Flags of Freedom.
All right, Alvin, I didn't get his last name.
Alvin Carter.
Carter, okay. Now, I liked how you mentioned Alex Haley's great-great-nephew.
Yes, Alex Haley's great-nephew, David Haley, he's a senator from Kansas that championed our legislation to recognize Juneteenth in the state of Kansas. And of course, that is significant because Kansas became the 31st state. And we only have 19 to go. But more importantly, I need your help to contact your member of Congress. Every state has 2 senators and a U.S. congressman from your district. Call them at 202-224-3121 and tell them to support the legislative efforts to make June recognized as a national day of observance in America.
All right, repeat that phone number again, because I have a pen and a paper, and I still wasn't able to write it all down.
202-224-3121.
All right.
And tell your members of Congress to support, that you want them to support efforts for the recognition of Juneteenth as a national day of observance. Juneteenth Independence Day as a national day of observance.
Great. Now, how long has the Black Caucus been behind your efforts?
At least 5 years. Congressman Danny Davis, the congressman from Chicago, Illinois, was one of the first members of the Congressional Black Caucus to begin to support us for our Congressional Juneteenth reception that we have at the U.S. Capitol every year. The first historic Juneteenth reception at the U.S. Capitol was on the Senate side of the Capitol. Our host was Trent Lott, then Senate Majority Leader, Republican Majority Leader, and in his place was Senator John Ashcroft from Missouri. So if you look at the diversity that we have with Juneteenth in terms of a leading Republican conservative supporting it, and now we have the support of the Congressional Black Caucus, there is no reason why Juneteenth should not be recognized as a national day of observance. It should be on all calendars, like Flag Day or Patriots Day. But we need you to make that request from your member of Congress even this week. I received a call from Nancy Pelosi's office late last week. I'm working with members of the Senate.
Okay. Did I hear you right that the Republican conservatives, were they the first ones to embrace Juneteenth Day?
Let me give you the history. The first legislator in Congress to support our efforts for Juneteenth was Congresswoman Barbara Rose Collins, Congressional Black Caucus, a Democrat from Detroit, Michigan. We didn't have a lot of support from the Congressional Black Caucus at that time. She ended up working with Newt Gingrich and also Trent Lott later on after she had made her efforts. She worked with Newt Gingrich and the rest of the Congress to get a legislation passed in 1996 on the House side to recognize Juneteenth in America. It was not successful in 1996 on the Senate side. Since it was a concurrent resolution, it failed. But in 1997, then Senate Majority Leader Republican Trent Lott, along with Republican J.C. Watts from the House, a Black Republican from Oklahoma, were instrumental in sponsoring legislation to finally, for the first time in U.S. history, have Juneteenth recognized as Juneteenth Independence Day in America.
Excellent. Excellent. I think you guys should have a book written about how Juneteenth holiday became a national holiday, because I definitely foresee it becoming a national holiday. And I hope that somebody's documenting all the history behind your struggle to get this day made into a holiday.
Along with that, we also were instrumental. The Juneteenth movement was instrumental in the legislation for Congress to apologize for slavery. I stood with Congressman Tony Hall, the former Democratic congressman from Ohio. The Juneteenth movement stood with him in the year 2000, June 19th, 2000, on his legislation to have the country, the Congress, officially apologize for slavery. And we've been working in different states to have an official apology for slavery. And now, after the legislation was passed for the House last year in 2008 by Congressman Steve Cohen, we're working with members of the Senate on the Senate apology for slavery. Hopefully, we'll have that through this week.
Excellent. Any other questions or comments from the panel?
He answered them?
Okay.
He answered them. He has us going. I am ready to go to help get this into a holiday, because it's time. It's long overdue. Long overdue.
Yes.
We welcome your support. Let me just give you my number. I'll give you my direct number. And I'll get you through to plug into the help of this very week. We've got to push it this week. But
okay.
I'm hoping we'll be at the White House on Friday with legislation to recognize Juneteenth as a national day of observance. My number, direct number, is 662-247-3364. 662-247-3364. www.juneteenth.us.
Now, how does one get involved with the Juneteenth celebration that's going to be going on this weekend in Washington?
Well, I would say in your own community, it's not too late to have a Juneteenth celebration in your own community.
Okay.
Tomorrow, just set aside a time during this week. You know, some Juneteenth celebrations occur all during the month of June. Juneteenth celebrations begin from the first week of June, and they go on to the end of June. But I would recommend that something as simple as having a prayer service, also a flag-raising ceremony or just a gathering to read the Emancipation Proclamation.
Mm-hmm.
You can start off with something as inexpensive and simple as that, mm-hmm. and begin to work on your celebration to become more and more involved in greater recognition of the day. So get together at your church, get together at your mosque, get together with your at City Hall, get together at the county courthouse, get together on the lawn in your house, gather your family members together, your sons and daughters, your nieces and nephews, and have a family recognition of Juneteenth. Read the Emancipation Proclamation. Let them make them aware of the significance of the day, the significance of Juneteenth, Independence Day in America.
Well, as far as the Emancipation Proclamation, in New York City, at a museum called the Federal Hall, there is an exhibit of the Emancipation Proclamation on site right now for the sole purpose of celebrating Juneteenth. I was there yesterday with my family, my little nephew.
Wonderful.
And we were able to see it. We took pictures of it. It's a wonderful experience. It will be there till June 30th. So if you want to see the Emancipation Proclamation, you can go to Federal Hall in New York City. It's right in the Wall Street District, across from the Federal Reserve Building. That is a perfect way to celebrate Juneteenth. I started my celebration yesterday, and I explained it to my nephew. My little girl is too young to know anything about history. But I'm all for it. I think it's a great holiday, and on a spiritual level, do you know of any churches or, any churches that have made Juneteenth a well-known holiday?
Well, you know, we have established the third Friday in June.
Mm-hmm.
Juneteenth is traditionally celebrated, for the most part, on the third Saturday in June. We've established the third Friday in June as a national day of reconciliation and healing from the legacy of enslavement. And so a number of churches have church services, prayer services on the 19th of June, which is the closest Friday to the 19th of June, the third Friday in June, and which in Washington, D.C., we have a national Juneteenth prayer breakfast at the National Press Club, and we have a Juneteenth Black Holocaust Maafa memorial service. Maafa is a Swahili term for terrible occurrence or great disaster. I don't like using the term Holocaust. Our Jewish brothers have that term for their time of tremendous loss. But on the Maafa service is our time of remembering all that we have gone through in terms of the millions of our ancestors that died in the Middle Passage, the thousands of our people who were lynched and murdered before and after the Civil War. It's our time of remembrance of our Maafa, our Holocaust.
How do you spell that, Doctor?
Black Holocaust. M-A-A-F-A.
M.
And the website for you to approach, yeah, M-A-A-F-A, and that's pronounced Maafa. And
okay.
That's a Swahili term for terrible occurrence, a great disaster. So we have a number of churches across the country who are joining with us on the third Friday in June, which is the National Day of Reconciliation and Healing for the Legacy of Enslavement, with church services on Friday and also joining in at churches on celebrations on Saturday. Now, the website for information on the Maafa, M-A-A-F-A, is www.njclc.com, www.njclc.com. And please have your pastor call me. Have your imam call me, have whatever your religious leader is call me, so I can help them with an acknowledgement of our Maafa during the week of Juneteenth.
Now, what's the difference between the Maafa and the Juneteenth, or do they combine? Are you really combining both of them during the Juneteenth celebration?
Well, traditionally, we celebrate our celebration of freedom. Traditional day is the third Saturday in June. Most people celebrate Juneteenth. If it's not the actual 19th of June on that Saturday, we usually celebrate on the third Saturday in June. And so we have picked the third Friday in June as a day of acknowledgement of our mourning, our loss of life, and our legacy of suffering from the legacy of enslavement. And we call that the National Day of Reconciliation and Healing for the Legacy of Slavery on the third Friday in June. And we celebrate on the third Saturday in June. But we felt it was important that both the Ma'afa, which is a day of reflecting our mourning and loss from the legacy of slavery, and a day of healing and reconciliation, occur a day before the traditional day that we celebrate freedom through the Juneteenth celebrations on the third Saturday in June.
Right. Dr. Metters, anything you want to add to the conversation?
No, I'm just listening.
Okay.
Trying to hear him out.
All right.
Yes.
Judy Bell Rain?
I'm just so grateful to have all this information today on the airwaves and on the computer, because so many children, so many adults will benefit from trying to get more information about Juneteenth and celebrating June, which is a very vital part of our history.
You also mentioned Schaumburg, the Schaumburg. Could you elaborate on your visit and trip to the Schaumburg?
Oh, sure. I was there. You know, we have, you know, June is Black Music Month. And I'm the national, yes, June is Black Music Month, and I'm the national Juneteenth jazz artist. So I work with Dr. Larry Ridley, retired teacher of jazz at Rutgers University, and the head, the executive director of the Afro-American Jazz Caucus on June is Black Music Month, celebrating Juneteenth jazz, preserving our African-American jazz legacy, which really has really the foundation, the beginning of the Black Renaissance. Our first two renaissances occurred in Harlem, New York. So I went back there to the Schaumburg Center for a press conference on June 1st to announce our Black Music Month Black Jazz Legacy Initiative. And that can be, information can be found at www.JuneteenthJazz.com. www.JuneteenthJazz.com. We're working to make sure that a younger generation you talked about understands the legacy of our music, particularly jazz, during Black Music Month, which we should be celebrating all across the country. Because what we see the pattern happening with a lot of our music is that the record industry, which is not controlled by us, are putting images out there of folks who are not African-American when it comes to jazz, blues, and important art forms that are a result of the legacy of our music legacy and our art legacy in America. So it's important that we educate our young people during June, which is Black Music Month, and Juneteenth, about the legacy of our arts and our music, and particularly music, jazz, during the month of June.
All right. Now, you mentioned a Rutgers professor. What was the name of that gentleman?
Oh, that's Dr. Larry Ridley.
Larry,
yes,
who?
Bass player, Dr. Larry Ridley, bass player extraordinaire. And he's head of the executive director of the African American Jazz Caucus. www.aajc.us. But you can go to www.JuneteenthJazz.com and join with us in the celebration of Black Music Month and the preservation of our African-American jazz legacy.
Okay. Now, you also, when you mentioned Dr. Wrigley of Rutgers, we also had a professor from Rutgers, which was scheduled to appear on the show. His name is Dr. Bethel. Are you familiar with Dr. Bethel from Rutgers?
No, I'm very familiar with Dr. Larry Ridley. Like, he's retired from Rutgers. He led, he was over the jazz studies program at Rutgers for a number of years, and he's in New York, and that's who I'm working with mostly on Black Music Month, preserving our Black jazz legacy.
Okay. There's so many things you talked about. I have a lot of notes here, and I really am just taken back by all the work you've done in such a short time. Another question I wanted to ask you was June 19th. Are there any descendants from anyone who has preserved their experience from the actual June 19th event?
Yes, in fact, there are several families who participated in our first Juneteenth celebration on the 19th of June in Texas who have continued through the generations to celebrate and recognize the families of the original celebration of Juneteenth when the announcement was made. I've had the opportunity to meet a couple of these families, and they've continuing with that tremendous celebration even generations after. And they've been a real inspiration to me.
Okay. Are there any books on the subject of some people, you know, stories of Juneteenth?
Yeah, there's several Juneteenth books out. The books that we're getting behind because it's such a great educational tool for young people is Juneteenth, A Celebration of Freedom by Dr. Charles Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some books that talk about more intensely the history of what went on during the first celebration of Juneteenth. And I don't know those titles off the top of my head, but you get with me, send me an email, JuneteenthDoc@yahoo.com, or just go to the website, Juneteenth.us, and I'll get that information for you if you're interested.
Okay. All right, so there are books out there which talk about the event itself, and that will talk about people that were actually involved in the first Juneteenth celebration.
Yes, yes.
Oh, good. Okay. Because that's something that we would love to get our hands on. I know I can't wait. What about you, Dr. Metters?
Me too. I'll be glad to go there.
Yeah, yeah. So, Dr. Metters, are you familiar with any types of Juneteenth celebrations?
Not in New York City and not in Georgia. I mean, I heard of them. I read about them somewhere, but not, real widespread as I would, I thought it should be. I mean, it should be more widespread. Like you said, 31 states, get all the different states, make a national holiday. But it's going to take a lot of organization. Like you said, you've got to put the commission in place and get your local politicians and things like that. It's going to take a strong drive.
Well, I think Dr. Myers, he did the hardest part of the work for us has already been done. What say you, Judy Bell?
Absolutely.
I think he laid out a game plan. All we have to do is follow his X and O's, and I think
plan.
It can happen.
Look at the newspapers, the Amsterdam News, the American Legacy Magazine, QBR,
right.
of these things. They will
I remember. Mm-hmm. I remember. I have a Juneteenth director, my direct representative for the holiday campaign in all 50 states. And I'll put you in touch with that person and begin to assist you. But New York recognized their state holiday. That legislation was passed by Governor Pataki, if I pronounce his name right. That was about 2 or 3 years ago. State Senator Sampson was instrumental in working with Patricia Deans over the Bronzeville Heritage House Juneteenth celebration in Brooklyn, getting that legislation passed about 3 years ago. In fact, 2004. So State Senator Sampson is a person that we're working with to get the New York Juneteenth Commission established by your state legislature.
Okay. The postage stamp. How long do you think it'll take before we actually see the stamp?
Oh, I think it'll be probably within a year. We've got enough petitions, and we've gotten the petitions to the Postal Stamp Committee, but we need you to go and get those petitions signed and sent to the Postal Commission. That's over the Stamp Advisory Committee. Like, go to www.juneteenth.us. Please download a petition and begin to get it circulated And we're looking for 1 million petitions this week alone for the Juneteenth holiday and the Juneteenth permission.
Now, did you draw on the experience from Martin Luther King's day becoming a holiday when you guys took on the Juneteenth mission?
Well, we, you know, of course, you know, the King holiday is a paid federal holiday, so it required the establishment of Martin Luther King holiday as a federal holiday. And we followed the example of that by petitioning Congress, working with the governors and the states to recognize the day down a similar path, because you're going to have to get those legislative bodies if you want the official recognition of Juneteenth, as well as what happened with King's holiday. You have to go by those same bodies. So we did follow that example.
Now, was there a book that you guys read to, you know, in order to learn about this, these steps that it took for Martin Luther King's holiday to be a success?
What's that now, ma'am?
Was there a book, you know, how did you follow Martin Luther King's holiday process?
Well, you know, they organized themselves on a state-by-state basis. They had a national initiative in Congress, and we're doing the same thing in terms of the Washington Juneteenth National Holiday Observance. We working with the Congressional Black Caucus, working with Republicans, working with Democrats, working with the state legislature to acknowledge Juneteenth, working with your governor to acknowledge Juneteenth. So we're following that same example, because those same bodies have to pass legislation to recognize Juneteenth as a national day of celebration and independence, as was done with the recognition of as a national holiday.
I have my mentor on the line. His name is Mr. Jerry Butler. He is the Blog Talk Radio Show King. He has thousands of listeners on his show, and he has granted me the honor to join in on our conversation. Mr. Jerry Butler, this is Dr. Myers you've been listening to, and he's been explaining to us how he successfully was able to get 31 states to ratify Juneteenth as a state holiday. And I just thought that what you would hear was something great, and you should be a part of the show while it's on live.
Well, first of all, Les, I'd like to thank you so much for inviting me here, and I'm honored to be on your show, and also for that wonderful accolade that you gave me as far as being the Radio King. And also, I'd like to welcome you as well, Dr. Myers, and I'd like to also commend you on such a wonderful job in the great efforts you've put forth in networking, reaching out to others, and managing to do a tremendous job that seems almost virtually impossible. Are you a one-man band? Are you a grassroots operation? I mean, please tell me how you managed to move mountains like this, 31 states, to ratify this. This is just unheard of.
Well, by the grace and mercy of all
you have done it.
Great.
Well, it's important that we, you know, really acknowledge our true legacy in America. That's one of arriving here in the belly of slave ships, and the fact that we built this country on our blood, sweat, and tears through the tyranny of slavery. And our young people need to understand that. In fact, we built the U.S. Capitol, and we built the White House. Our ancestors built those historic buildings. Go to the right. You got to go to the right. Look, I'm trying to show you everything right here. You missed.
All right. Dr.
Myers,
he's always on the road. That's how he was able to help the 31 states. But he's always moving.
So let me ask you, Dr. Myers. Dr. Myers, are you there?
No, I'm here, brother. Go ahead, man.
Okay, let me ask you, have you been able to join forces with PUSH and the Rainbow Coalition as well to try to bring this into fruition in terms of getting all of the lower 48 states or possibly all 50 states to ratify Juneteenth?
Well, I work with a coalition of Juneteenth celebrations and organizations in all 50. I work with Juneteenth folks who have the heart and soul of Juneteenth at heart, and they're also members of PUSH. They're also members of national organizations. So it may not be an official link up in terms of organizations, but we work with people in all 50 states, all our communities that love and support Juneteenth.
Well, the reason I ask you is because in the very near future, I will be having the Reverend Jesse Jackson on my show, and his spokesperson, who is the chairman of PUSH, is, matter of fact, his name is Martin Luther King Jr. They named him after Dr. King.
Wow.
Yeah, he's the chairman of the PUSH. So, are you there?
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, I'm here. I'm willing to get whatever support and help that we have.
Exactly. And I would like to have them to reach out to you, and if it's in a way that they can help you, it's not like you just starting off. Half the battle is already won with 31.
Well, I think you should definitely ask Dr. Myers to join your conversation when you have them on your show.
No
Dr.
doubt.
Myers, tell Jerry Butler how President Barack Obama helped you out in Illinois.
Oh, yeah. As a state senator, he's been a strong supporter of Juneteenth. Don't turn you off. Yeah, he's a strong supporter of Juneteenth as a state senator. He helped with the legislation to get Juneteenth recognized in the state of Illinois. As a United States senator, he was our Juneteenth Senate host for the annual Washington Juneteenth service, congressional Juneteenth reception. And we look forward to his continued support as president in the establishment of Juneteenth as a national holiday observance.
Okay, well, you know, what I'd like to do, I'd like to extend the opportunity to you right now to also give you more moral support and extend the opportunity to you to be a guest on my show as well. And, Leslie, I want to thank you so much for always connecting me with heavy hitters, as you always do. You always have a wonderful show with very talented, well-connected guests. And as you well know, I will gladly put them on my show and give them the maximum amount of spotlight and exposure that I possibly can. So, Dr. Myers, if you don't have any objections, I'd love to have you on my show, too, so that we can keep getting the word out there to everybody.
Right, right.
Well,
Dr. Myers, can you give them your information? I know I've been asking you to give out the information several times throughout the show, but can you please repeat it slowly so that not only Jerry Butler can hear it, but people, when they listen to the archive, I have more people listening to the archive than I do live. So it's important that they get this information out right now.
Okay, great. Well, I can be reached at area code 662-247-3364, website www.juneteenth.us. And that's www.juneteenth.us.
Okay, 718, are you on the line? You've been on hold for a long time.
Yeah.
Do you want to say something?
No, I just got on the line, so I'm just listening.
Okay, is this Philip from Fade to Black?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, Philip, you also can help us get Dr. Myers some more exposure. Dr. Myers, you have on the line Mr. Philip Howell. He is a television producer of a cable show in New York City, Queens, New York, and he has a nice-sized audience. Philip, pretend that he was in your studio or you were interviewing him, and let it out. Let your questions, let him go.
Okay, what was the most challenging part of actually taking on the project of getting the June 19th? What was the challenge? Biggest challenge.
Well, the most challenging aspect is getting black folks to work together.
Dr. Myers, I'm proud to say you're on the line with a bunch of black folks, and all of us have been working together for the last several weeks, right, Mr. Jerry Butler?
Well, I will admit that, but I appreciate what Mr. Myers is saying, and he's not saying in a condescending manner. He's only trying to wake up the awareness of there is more that can be done. It's still a lot more to be desired.
It sure is. I wholeheartedly agree with what you're saying. Dr. Myers is also a minister. Can you tell us more about your ministry side?
Well, I'm a medical physician, a family practitioner, and I've had the blessing of being the first medical missionary to the Mississippi Delta, America's poorest region, where our folks live in a lot of poverty, by the Black Church of America. In 1990. Churches in Wisconsin, Black Churches of Wisconsin, supported me and ordained and commissioned me as the first medical missionary to the Mississippi Delta in the history of Black Church in America, and I there served the needs of the poor. In fact, some of the counties I'm in, a black baby has a better chance of surviving in Bangladesh than some of these counties in Mississippi.
Wow.
Our goodness.
Golly. How did that come about that they, you know, that you even got involved with becoming a missionary?
I just felt it was a calling on my life. I just really felt it was something that God spoke into my spirit as a calling, and I was challenged to go to medical school and get my MD degree, but don't let financial gain or all the money I could make be my major motivation. But allow God to use me in a significant way to serve the needs of the poorest of our people. And that's just a call of God on my life, and I've just been trusting God with my faith ever since.
Oh, okay. So you, what medical school did you go to? And who influenced you?
University of Wisconsin Medical School in Madison, Wisconsin. I graduated from there in 1985.
And who influenced you to go to medical school?
Oh, there was a minister by the name of Reverend John Park Perkins, the voice of Calvary Ministries, that played a significant mentorship role in my life to really challenge me to make a difference by serving the poor, our people who are poor in the Mississippi Delta.
All
right. That's an awesome story. Go ahead, Jerry.
I was just simply saying, Philip, that was a very good question in terms of wondering what was just some of the obstacles, and I'm sure that was just one of the major obstacles, but I'm sure there have been others. And Dr. Myers, let me ask you this. What are some of your projects that you are endeavors that you are also, any other additional endeavors or projects you're trying to accomplish as well as this feat right here?
Well, that's why I was in New York a couple of weeks ago at Black Music Month celebrating Juneteenth Jazz, preserving our Black Jazz Legacy Press Conference with Dr. Larry Ridley of the African-American Jazz Caucus, because June is Black Music Month. And so we are taking on the challenge of during the month of June, preserving our African-American Jazz Legacy, because with the recording industry and folks who control the media, they're trying to put a face on jazz, which is not a black face. So,
okay.
We're focusing on efforts to making sure that our young people understand the roots and legacy of our African-American jazz traditions, which was the fact that I just came here to Omaha. I'm talking to you. I'm in Omaha, the home of Malcolm X. Getting ready to do a Juneteenth jazz concert and at the Love Arts and Center. And so it's important. Another thing that we're working on is the preservation of the black arts, our black music legacy through jazz during the month of June, Black Music Month.
Great.
Okay.
And that's www.JuneteenthJazz.com, www.JuneteenthJazz.com. And you can find out how you can assist us with preserving our African-American jazz legacy.
All righty. And believe me, I shall be definitely contacting you so I can pick your very talented brain and get all of your information to find all of the different endeavors that you have, because we want you right here to not feel as though you have to be under some type of constrictions where you can't blast out and talk about everything that you got going on, because we want to put a focus on it all, and if it's any way possible that we can actually help enhance your chances of making you an even bigger success, we'd like to do it right here on our radio shows.
That's a great comment.
But thank you, brother. Looking forward to working with you.
And and the feelings are indeed mutual. We are definitely looking forward to continuing to work with you as well. Now, jazz, what prompted you? Were you always a jazz lover? Is this just another passion you done picked up along the way? It seemed like every cause that you find, you just become a magnet and get attracted to it, and the Lord just has a tendency to pull at your heartstrings and make you just go in that direction as a very compassionate and caring person.
Well, you know, God gifted me as a jazz musician. I've been a musician since I was 11 years old.
Come on now.
And when I was 16 years old, I had an opportunity to play with Sonny Stitt and Donald Byrd.
Donald Byrd on the trumpet.
Yes, and also Matty Ellis, the legendary jazz guitarist from Milwaukee. And, you know, God just laid a path for me in this great music, our music, our African-American classical music, jazz. And I begin to be concerned because I see it becoming a dying art form in our community.
Okay.
And also was concerned about the fact that the record companies and the media, the folks who control the media, are trying to put a face on jazz, which is not a black face.
Now, would you expound on that? I've heard you say that before, Dr. Miles. Would you expound on that a little more in terms of how you happen to come to that conclusion, or substantiate that somewhat for the listeners, please, in terms of why you have that feeling or what you have seen as sheer evidence to prompt you to feel that way?
Well, for instance, I run into young people who think Duke Ellington is white. they think that the greatest soprano saxophone player is Kenny G.
Right, right.
So I mean, I don't worry about them. They're gonna do that. I'm concerned about what are we doing to make sure that our legacy of music is handed down to our children. They understand this is also music that came out of oppression. It came out of enslavement. And we need to be about the preservation of that legacy and building institutions in our own community to make sure that it's handed down to the next generation.
I agree.
Myers, I'm trying to Google your name on the Internet right now because I would like for our listeners to hear a piece from your band. Can you give me some information on how I could get some and get one of your tunes, and how the listeners can listen to some of your music?
Oh, sure. Right now, I don't have a track online. But if you go to www.JuneteenthJazz.com and contact me, there's information there how you can get a recording. But more importantly, you can get connected to the efforts that are so highly fought, that we're fighting for in terms of Black Music Month and preserving our African-American jazz legacy. You can get in contact with how you can help us and assist us in that area.
That okay. Sounds great.
Go ahead, Jerry.
I'm just, truly amazed, because when you just, I'm still in awe to know that you had the opportunity to perform with Donald Byrd, and Stepping Into Tomorrow just comes into my mind, you know, and I'm just in awe. I mean, it's just so many different facets of you that people don't know about. So, Dr. Miles, while we got you on the phone, before we run out of time, share something else with the listeners that they have no idea that the great doctor, minister, and family physician, does that nobody's even probably know that you even do?
Well, listen, the most important thing I can share is that there's nothing better than being a servant.
Right.
Serve the needs of our community, whatever talents you have, whatever gift God has blessed you with, become a servant, because there's tremendous needs in our community, and we're not going to move forward until we begin to make the sacrifices of serving our people.
And coming together as one.
That's right, brother.
I agree. I truly do agree. Now, you say you're in Omaha right now. You got a function going on there as well, or you just passing through?
No, I'm here at the second annual Malcolm X, Omaha Malcolm X Juneteenth Jazz and Arts Festival.
Okay.
Just pulled up, and my musicians are unloading the equipment. We have an art exhibit. I noted African American artist Alvin Carter. We have a celebration of our jazz legacy and freedom right here in Omaha tonight at the Love Arts Love Jazz and Arts Center.
That's what I want you to do. Get that shout out.
Yeah, Love Jazz and Arts Center, Omaha, Nebraska. Come on down. Let's celebrate freedom through jazz and arts, because this day is a day that needs to be celebrated, June 19th, Juneteenth, our day of independence as African Americans.
Exactly. And let me ask you this. What is your next project that you're going to have going on? What is the next new thing that you're going to be doing after you're finishing up this project that you have in Omaha, Dr. Miles?
Well, I'll be coming to Washington, D.C., for the 10th annual Washington Juneteenth National Holiday Observance.
And where would that be located, sir?
Well, on Wednesday the 17th, we'll be at the Congressional Juneteenth Symposium and the Congressional Juneteenth Reception, hosted by the Congressional Black Caucus, from 4 o'clock to 6:30 is going to be the symposium. And from 6:30 to 8, I'm going to have the reception. I'll be performing at the Juneteenth reception and working to not only celebrate our legacy of freedom through Juneteenth, but also making sure that our members of Congress understand that we need their support in making sure that our legacy of slavery to freedom, Juneteenth, is a national holiday observance in America. We need legislation.
Well,
let's need to be on every calendar.
Right. Well, let me just say this to you. I know you're going to be performing tonight. Afterwards, I'm going to call you tomorrow so that you can call in at the top of each one of my shows, Monday, Tuesday, and if you had a chance, Wednesday, because I know you got sound check, and I know you're going to be traveling Monday and Tuesday, but you can call in and give a blast out and let everybody know exactly what you got going on during the top portion of my show.
Okay, brother, look forward to it, man. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. I'd like to thank you so much. Over to you, Leslie.
Okay. Thanks, Jerry Butler. It was great having you on. You always do a fine job of interviewing, and that's why I listen to your show, so I can learn some tips. I'll be listening to your show this week, the Jerry Butler Show, live. What time, Jerry?
Well, actually, it's Monday through Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and also Fridays 5 to 8 p.m. But let's not forget Philip from Fade to Black, who's sitting back there in the background, who also has a wonderful listening audience and listening base as well, and brings a lot of intelligent information to the table. Are you there, Philip?
Yeah, I'm still here. You know, it's interesting that, you know, it seems like, you know, Dr. Myers is very inspired, and everything he does inspires him to do something else. You know?
I agree.
One success leads you to want to do other successes, you know, to do other things. Once you realize that your potential, that you can do one thing and you can just take that and move it into other areas, that same energy.
And Philip, being that I have you here, I just want you to know that Leslie has spoken very highly of you, and you are indeed on my list of things to do, and it would be my pleasure to also feature you as well, young man, on my show also.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
It would be my pleasure.
We have Judy Bell Rains online, and also Dr. Medicine, William Patterson University.
All right.
So say hi to them before you exit.
I did not know I had Judah and also the brother from, because I've been intending to get with his brother from, what is it, Wayne Patterson? What's the name of the university?
New Jersey. Wayne Patterson.
That's right, man. I'm going to call you, and Miss Judy, I know you on AOL. I haven't forgot you either, because we got to touch bases with the brother down there in Atlanta. I wrote all that information down. I got all my notes. How you all doing?
Fine.
I'm happy to hear that. You there, Judy?
So are you the babysitter and someone?
Okay, Judy? Judy, back there in the background. You there, Judy?
Okay. I think we lost Judy, Phillip.
That's okay. I got a number, thank God. And, you know, like I said, I do plan on contacting each and every person, and that's the beautiful thing about coming here to your show, Leslie. You always have such a great panel of people who have so much knowledge, so much history, so much wonderful, inspiring, eye-opening information to bring to the table.
Great. Thank you, Jerry. We always like hearing from you.
My pleasure.
Okie dokie. Now, Dr. Myers, you mentioned you're in Omaha. How long is that celebration going to last in Omaha?
Oh, we'll be here from, like, reception is starting at 6. Alvin Carr is unloading his African-American art exhibit. I'm going to start with some music at 7. We'll probably go on to about 9:30 or 10. And, of course, Omaha's Christmas celebration, main celebration, it's going to be next weekend with a parade and other activities all during next weekend.
Great. So they're going to have like a 4-day celebration in Omaha.
Right, and it's wonderful to be here in the home of Malcolm X. Always wonderful.
I love Malcolm X. Now, on your website, do you have a list of celebrations going on throughout the country?
Yes, it's on the left side of my webpage. Just click on, it says registry map. Just click on the map of the United States and the world, and you'll see the celebrations that we have listed.
Okay, we have a lot of background, so I'm going to try to repeat it. You said on the left-hand side under the registry map?
Yeah, Juneteenth.us, www.juneteenth.us.
Okay, great. So if we want to find a place to go to celebrate Juneteenth, we go to your Juneteenth.us and look under the map, and we could find out what states are first acknowledging Juneteenth and how they're celebrating.
Right, on the left-hand columns. Just give me a call, and I'll direct you to one, the closest one to where you are.
Okay, good. Now, earlier in the conversation, you talked about the process of helping your state acknowledge and recognize and ratify Juneteenth as a holiday. Could you go through those four steps? You mentioned having a commission.
Well, first of all, you got to get with those elected officials for the federal recognition of Juneteenth. It's your congressman and your two U.S. senators. And then for the state recognition of Juneteenth, and also the president, President Obama, for the state recognition of Juneteenth, your governor, your state representative, your state senator. You got to get them, make them aware of Juneteenth and ask them to support legislation to acknowledge and recognize the 19th of Juneteenth in your state. We've done that in 31 states. We're working hard now for the national recognition of Juneteenth as a national day of observance across America. We're looking forward to Barack Obama's support as president. But more importantly, it's going to take each of us contacting our member of Congress at 202-224-3121 and letting them know that you want them to support legislation to establish Juneteenth as a national day of observance.
And what were the following steps after you said there was a commission which had to be formed? I love how you explained the steps that you need to take in order to make this happen in your state.
Well, once you get your state to officially recognize Juneteenth through legislation, then the next step is to establish a state Juneteenth commission. And that's go back to that legislature, get your commission established, to concentrate on four areas, one education. Do your Juneteenth Commission, your state Juneteenth Commission, work with your state education authority to have the curriculum placed in the schools to recognize Juneteenth and the whole history of the slavery to freedom. The kids should be taught this. They're not being taught this. So once the state officially recognizes the holiday, work with the state superintendent of education, your commission or school board, to have the curriculum placed in the school to teach the story of slavery to freedom. Also work with the Department of Tourism to make sure that tourism dollars are going towards Juneteenth celebrations. The commission works with your tourism authority to make sure that at rest stops and other areas, commercials and ads state that they're including Juneteenth as one of the important attractions for your state and the Juneteenth celebrations. Also, you can work with your historical and archive authority to make sure that we have Juneteenth markers placed in key areas throughout the state where there's a legacy of freedom that needs to be commemorated by historic markers. And also, key historic things that have happened in your state in terms of the struggle of slavery to freedom, the historical authority. Then the commission also focuses on economic development, and that resources in the state are going toward the economic development of your Juneteenth celebrations and the business opportunities that that creates.
All right. I love that information because it shows us just how in depth that this process is and how much effort you put into it. And it's nothing simple, nothing that you expect to happen overnight. And it involves a lot of people from different walks of life. I think it's just an awesome feat that you guys accomplished.
Yeah, started in 1994 at a meeting in New Orleans, Louisiana, Christian Unity Baptist Church. Pastor Dwight Webster, Reverend John Mosley called that meeting of Juneteenth leaders from across the country. I was appointed the chairman of that meeting and have been chairing the Juneteenth movement since 1994. So we've been at this about 15 years.
Wonderful. Wow. Any comments or remarks, suggestions from any of the panelists?
Well, I was just saying I'm glad that he brought that Dr. Miles brought that up in terms of how this actually came about. So was this actually an idea that you came up with, or this was a collective idea with you and some others as well?
Well, to pull together the movement, it was the idea of Reverend John Mosley to call Juneteenth leaders across the country together so we can work cooperatively as a movement to gain greater recognition of Juneteenth. Reverend John Mosley was the founder and director of the New Orleans Juneteenth Celebration back in 1994. So we've been working also with Juneteenth America, John Thompson, other national Juneteenth efforts and state organizations. We've all come together in what we call the Modern Juneteenth Movement in terms of the recognition of Juneteenth, and now Juneteenth is more than a celebration.
How many
exactly.
official organizations do you think are out there besides yours?
Well, we all come together under the banner of the National Juneteenth Observance Foundation for the purpose of the holiday legislation. So Juneteenth organizations work with us. I have a Juneteenth director and a committee in all 50 states. And so we're all committed to making sure that Juneteenth, recognizing Juneteenth as a national holiday, a special day of observance, is going to happen. And so there are a number of organizations, state organizations, but we work with Juneteenth people. The heart and soul of our movement are people committed to Juneteenth. And that's why we've been able to affect change, because we recognize that we all have a commitment to Juneteenth, so let's work together to gain that national recognition.
That's excellent. Well, I went to a Juneteenth celebration maybe 7 years ago in Teaneck, New Jersey. I was wondering, so if there is an organization out there, how do we tell a Juneteenth organization, however small, that they need to get in touch with you. And the Juneteenth, National Juneteenth Observance Holiday. How
well,
would one little organization...
Go to www.juneteenth.us, juneteenth.us, and I have a listing of all my state directors and organizations on the website. Right above a picture of me blowing a trumpet in the cornfield, you'll see it. It'll be a picture that'll stand out like a, it'll stand out and say, wow. And right above that, the NJOS state directors, click on that, and it goes to my state directors and committees in all 50 states. And that's a good way to plug in. Or just contact me directly. At the bottom of Juneteenth.us is my email address. My phone number is 202-224-3121.
Okay.
I'm sorry. That's Congress's number. My
number. Right, that's what I was saying. Your number is like the 662 number, correct?
Yes. 662-247-3364. Yeah. Now, that's the number for Congress. Yeah, I'll tell y'all, members of Congress support the establishment of Juneteenth as an official national day of observance.
Right. Okay. Just want to make sure we got our numbers correct here that we're giving out to the listeners.
Dr. Metters, anything from you? Dr. Metters? Yes. Oh, I didn't mute him. Hold on. All right, Jerry Butler, any other questions?
Well, you know, actually, again, it's not so much a question that I have because I think Dr. Myers has done an excellent job of continuing to give us great information as far as a roadmap on how to contact the members of Congress, how to contact him as well, also the different mechanisms that we can use to be able to actually get in touch with as many different organizations as possible. Did Judy make it back to the, or is you, have you got Judy on mute? Judy, are you there?
I see Judy's number. I see Dr. Metter's number, but I don't hear him.
Okay. See, I did, you know, and sometime on Blog Talk, they'll just get on mute and you can't pull them off. But at any rate, as I was saying before, because I'm sure Judah would just love to be chiming in on this, and I apologize. I'm hoping she can at least hear us, even though she can't speak in through the switchboard. He has really given us a bunch of information. Now, let me ask you about Reverend John Mosley. Is he still actively participating, Dr. Myers? Is he going to be here at this event here in Omaha as well?
Well, no, John's, Reverend Mosley's back in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And, you know, he was, lost his, residence and everything from Katrina.
Uh-huh.
So he's still communicating with me.
Well, that's good, because I was going to ask you, are you still in contact with him?
Oh, of course, yes.
Uh-huh. And what about John Thompson?
Oh, man, that brother, I just left him in at our Juneteenth jazz concert last night in Kansas City. That brother, man, he ain't never going to go away.
Well, the reason I'm asking you is because when we do bring you on the show, I'm going to try to do my best to have you to reach out to each of these individuals so that we can get everybody chiming in together, if at all possible.
Sounds like a plan to me, man.
Okay, I just wanted to know if that's at all possible.
And I would love to YouTube upload your video of some of your shows and performances. So if you have anything, any footage of your gigs, let us know. I'm pretty sure, Philip, you would like that too, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah, I would like to, how, if I get down to Washington D.C., how would I be able to, get a press pass to come to the event down there? Or?
You heard that, Dr. Myers? Philip wants to bring his camera to D.C.
Okay, I didn't hear. I'm still kind of, I couldn't hear everything because of the interference, but
Philip, the television producer from New York City, would like to bring his camera and his film crew down to Washington D.C.
Come on, brother. Come on, Juneteenth reception is at from the Black Caucus for reception. It's from 4:30 to 6. I'll be performing. And we got the symposium from 4 to 6:30. It's all on that website, Juneteenth.us.
Thank you.
Top of the Washington Juneteenth schedule of events. And come on, brother.
Now, how does one go about getting tickets to this event?
Well, it's free to the public.
Okay. Well, you can't get no better than that.
It's free to the public. Washington. So what day does it start on again?
On Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday, June 17th is the Congressional Juneteenth reception hosted by the Congressional Black Caucus.
And morning.
Symposium from 4 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. and the reception with the music from 6:30 to 8, and I'll be performing at the reception.
Oh, okay. And do they have like a way to get a press pass?
Well, I think if you just call any member of the Congressional Black Caucus, and they can give you the information.
Oh, okay. All right, I'll find out.
Is that 202 number?
Yeah, 202-224-3121.
Or is it 2131?
No, 224-3121.
I wrote the wrong one. And he has to ask for a pass for Wednesday's event.
Ask for any Congressional Black Caucus members. I believe y'all got a forum in New York, Towns and Meeks, Wrangell.
Yeah.
And Sister Clark.
Okay, so the number of pictures, can you repeat one more time? 202? What's the 202?
224.
224.
3121.
Okay.
Excellent. So, can you just give us a synopsis of what this weekend is going to look like, the Juneteenth weekend will look like in Washington, D.C.?
Well, they're going to have the National Congressional Juneteenth reception on Wednesday, June 17th, 4:30 from 4 to 6:30, the Juneteenth Congressional Symposium, from 6:30 to 8, the Juneteenth Congressional Reception, hosted by the Congressional Black Caucus. On Friday, we have the National Juneteenth Prayers Breakfast at the National Press Club, from 8:30 to 9:45. And then we have the National Juneteenth Black Holocaust My Offer Memorial Service at Lincoln Park United Methodist Church in Washington, D.C. from 11:30 to 1:30.
Okay.
And all this information can be found at www.juneteenth.us. Just click on Washington Juneteenth Schedule of Events and addresses and everything you need will be right there.
Great. Is there anything you want to add to the show before you leave, Dr. Meyer?
I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be on your program. And it's important that we receive recognition for our ideas from the community of America. And I'm looking forward to that becoming a reality.
We are, too. We are all looking forward. Anyone have any parting words for Dr. Myers before he
But Dr. Myers, this is Jerry Butler. Once again, I'd like to once again commend you also, even though Reverend John Mosley is not in earshot or John Thompson, you all are doing an excellent job of definitely networking, connecting, and again, we have an open forum for you, like I said, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and any day thereafter that you'd like to come on the top of the show to actually let us know where you're going to be, when you're going to be there, and we can take it from there. And also, Philip will be getting back in touch with you or either the people at the 202 number so that he can do his best to get his film crew down there so that we can archive this historic event that is going to actually be taking place.
What is your number, Jerry Butler, your call-in number?
Actually, when you go to call in to my show, for anyone who's listening, it's area code 646-929-0434. That's 646-929-0434. And my shows air Monday through Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m. and on Fridays from 5 to 8, and this is Eastern Standard Time. Thank you so much, Leslie.
Great. Anytime. Anytime. Okay. Anyone else? Philip, you want to give the information for your show? Not loud and clear, Philip.
My show comes on scheduled in Queens on QCTV. It comes on Friday evening at 7:30, and that's on channel 50. Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, channel 56.
Okay, channel 56, and what town is that?
This is in Queens. Excuse me, I'm going to change it. That's on Friday. It's on channel 35 on QPTV. And on Sunday at 1:30 p.m., it's on channel 56 on QPTV.
Okay, good.
Now, it's on. It's shown in Queens, but it's also shown all over. So it's shown in, you know, in Jersey. It's shown in the Bronx, Manhattan. It's shown all over. But I don't know when it's shown. Those are the places, but I do know the times for Queens that it's shown. But it's shown around different places.
All right. And that's, I think that's everybody on our show. Of course, my information, I'm Leslie Fitz. This show airs on Sundays between 5:30 and normally 7. I also re-air the show. Sometimes when they're great like this show is, I'll edit it and then re-air it and allow the audience to call in. Unfortunately, you won't be able to talk to the guests live, but you'll be able to hear all the excellent information that we learned while just talking to them live. My website is the, T-H-E, gist, G-I-S-T, of, O-F, freedom, freedom.com. My book is about the Underground Railroad and the people, and I like to celebrate people of faith like Dr. Myers. He is definitely operating in faith. Would you agree, Dr. Myers?
Yes.
And his
right here, sister.
Right, and his networking skills are definitely emulating the networking skills of the Underground Railroad movement, and it's just awesome. I feel excited about hearing what you're doing and how you connected so many different facets of your life into this holiday. And I know the people from the Underground Railroad, our ancestors, are all celebrating the efforts that you put in forth, because even though they made it across the Mason-Dixon line, so many of them had relatives in the South that didn't find out until the people of Galveston, Texas. So it's an awesome story, and your work is definitely tying in the past to the present and also to the future, and that's why Philip wants to document it. I want to document it. I hope that you guys are keeping a legacy and a documentation of your struggle in this mission, because just like you mentioned Martha King's holiday being recognized as a federal holiday, we need to learn. We need to keep that information somewhere handy so that we all know how you did it and appreciate all your work, because many times we celebrate Martha King, and we don't even respect and recognize all the people that was behind it, like you.
It's just a privilege before Almighty God to serve my people, and the important thing is to get the message out on Juneteenth to the nation.
Great, great. And the last comment I like to make, and I want to leave the show with somehow connected with our audience, how would you describe the way that you want people to celebrate and acknowledge Juneteenth? Now, we talked about all the things that people are not doing. What is it?
Well, I would want people to get together with their children, get together with their nieces and nephews, gather them there on that 19th, and tell them the story of our struggle in America. Our ancestors were born here in the belly of slave ships. Millions of our ancestors were passed in the Middle Passage. Thousands of our people that were lynched and murdered before and after the Civil War. How on the 19th of June, the announcer was Freedom from Slavery Was Made in Galveston, Texas, that they may know that this truly is our day of freedom and celebration of independence in America.
All right. And Jerry Butler?
Yes.
How would you recommend? We don't want this holiday just to be a day for a shopping spree or a day to be off of school. What would you recommend people do on Juneteenth, Kwanzaa, Martin King's birthday?
Well, that's a very good question, Leslie. And actually, I honestly feel that we should come together as one. Let's try to end the violence that we have amongst ourselves in the inner cities. Let's raise our level of awareness so that we can all have a more conscious attitude of where we've been, where we are, and most of all, where are we going? Because if you don't know where you've been and you don't know where you are, there's no way you're going to determine where you're going. So with that being said, there's just so much on our plate because, as Brother Myers has said, we have so many youngsters today that think Duke Ellington is Caucasian or that Kenny G is the man on the horn, not taking anything away from Kenny G. But we need more. We need to be more in tune with our history instead of his story.
Right. Okay. All right. I guess that will end our show. Dr. Myers, we're going to let you have the last word. Would you please close our show for today?
I want to leave with a hope of leave hope that we, as we come together and in unity, there is strength.
Thank you so much, and I'm going to put on the show's theme music, which is Stevie Wonder's We're Jamming, and I plan on jamming and praying on Juneteenth. Have a good night, a great week, and a happy Juneteenth holiday.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, sister.
All right. All right. Thank you for joining our show. Again, you can celebrate the Juneteenth holiday at your own home. If you can't find a celebration, make one. Go to the museum. There is an exhibit of the actual Emancipation Proclamation at a museum called the Federal Hall in New York City. It's in the Wall Street District. You can Google Federal Hall, and I've seen it with my own eyes. It's an awesome experience. The Juneteenth holiday is also a divine holiday because it acknowledges the greatness of our and how we overcame it and just how great God is in our story. Our story exalts the goodness of God, and I think anything that reflects how he brought us over is a great excuse to celebrate God. So even though we talk about holidays, in essence, we are really exalting and celebrating the goodness of God. So please acknowledge him in all your ways, and a great way to acknowledge him is through talking about slavery, and not slavery by itself, because talking about slavery in itself would not be acknowledging God. But when you talk about slavery, always make it your effort to talk about how we overcame it. That is the beauty of our story. Not that we were slaves, but now we are free. And, of course, we now have a president of the United States of America who really exemplifies just how far we've come from being brought here in shackles and chains to now being able to vote for a black president. So let's give God the glory in all our ways, and stay tuned. Stay tuned. This week, look for us to be on the air to re-air this show. Again, have a great week. Bye-bye.